Hey, greetings everybody, this is Brother James.
And Sister Deb.
Hey, we thought we would do a audio and do an update. We like to do a 2022 witnessing update on kind of what's going on the Gospel Road. And if you haven't heard these before, the reason we do these, Jesus said, let your good works be seen before men so that you can glorify the Father. So glorify God with us as we tell you about these stories. It's not to glorify us, it's to lift up the Father. And then you saints can know how to pray. Also to be edified and encouraged that God's truth is going out. And maybe for some of you people, men or ladies, that want to learn how to witness, that you can learn how to let your light shine, be salt, be light, and witness. So that's why we do these. It's not about us. It's about lifting up the truth of God and edifying, encouraging, and glorifying God. Right, Sister Debbie?
Yeah, amen. Praise God.
Yeah. So we thought we would just go over and do an audio and cover some of the witnessing we had. This is just some of the witnessing, and we don't record everything that we do and write down everything, but we like to pick out certain ones and then just go back and cover them for you. Here's one. I'll go first. We're going to go back and forth. I met a nomad traveler. He called himself a nomad and ended up sitting down and having a cup of coffee with him in a McDonald's. And for 20 years, he's been driving from Florida up to South Dakota for his health. And long story short, it was very refreshing. He had a lot of nice things to say about the things of God. He was a believer, claimed to be a believer in Christ. But he has a heretical idea of once saved, always saved, and you can live in a lot of sin and still be of God. And I got to gently, lovingly, older man, to teach him truth and gave him a lot of truth. And it was rather heartwarming. Right,
yeah,
Sister Debbie?
Oh, it was.
He said some things that were really encouraging and edifying to us. And that it was also a little bit disappointing that after decades, he still is not believing what God's word says about living in willful sin and falling away. So that was pretty interesting. Him and I are emailing each other right now, so we got to stay connected. So that was one witnessing session. Sister Debbie has one.
Well, mine actually kind of bounced along with yours. So if you wanted to do another one on, I think it was, I don't have one for the bull riding event, but if you wanted to do that and then another, because mine kind of go along with yours.
Okay, how about we went and we set up and street preached at a bull riding event, and that was awesome. Lines and lines of people getting ready to go on an event. Got to preach the gospel to them. Yeah, they called the police on us, but we were totally legal, totally on county property.
Right.
Somebody said I was telling them that their children were going to burn in hell, and I've never talked about anything like that. I did talk about heaven, I did talk about hell, and later I said the kingdom of God is like and for little children. They just put it together and told the police that I was threatening people's children with hell. Typical lies. I told the police officer, hey, you want to see my body cam video? It would show you the truth, and he stood down. He knew that he didn't have anything on me, and we were perfectly legal. So that was awesome. We got to preach at a bull riding event and warn them about their worldly ways and preach the gospel to them.
Right, that was awesome.
And then we preached at a Mark Twain Street event, and wow, many, many thousands heard the gospel, witnessed to some people that seemed like they were sheep, especially one young couple that were interested in getting ready to come out of churchianity. And just the gospel went out on a hot, hot day. But we were out there for many hours. It was really glorious to be able to preach, to witness the gospel, warn people, call them out, lift up Christ crucified. And Sister Debbie has an interesting story from that one.
You're right, I do. While we were out there, I actually got to witness to a few women. Well, sad to say, mostly rebuked them because they came up to me to defend their sins. And one in particular was a woman who was... Yeah, she was dressed how I used to dress. I'll just
yeah,
say that.
She was very worldly.
Oh, yeah. And she came up to me, and she was defending her sins. And I tried to help her out of them. She told me she was KJV only, and I told her that was heretical. And she ended up walking by kind of mocking and blowing kisses to me and saying, we agree to disagree. Well, I ended up using, Brother James happened to take a picture of me.
A public picture, which is totally fine.
Oh, yeah, because everybody there was taking pictures of us.
Yep.
And that's perfectly fine. And so I just happened to use that example. And on one of my posts that I did for women and stuff, and I put a couple videos on there that Brother James and I made about going to and from the event, And she happened to message me on Messenger later, and she said, my friend happened to go on your website and found this. So I was rejoicing that somebody was on there looking.
So yeah, so there you go. We go out and street preach and hold up our website, and people do go and look at it and test themselves.
Oh,
so.
Right. And we never know when there might be a sheep, you know.
Yep.
So I was talking to her, and maybe it was her friend who needs the truth or whatever. I don't know this. But anyway, she said, please take my picture down. I never gave you permissions. And I told her it was public. I said, tell you what. When you repent of all the sins and you become a godly, holy, set-apart woman called out from the world, I will gladly take it down. And she was just mad about that. She just wanted her picture down.
Yeah.
Not really understanding why. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, sisters. I told her, I said, at one point she said, you told me I looked like a harlot. I said, no, you dress like one. I said, you dress like I used to dress before.
Well, wait,
I was in
she place. Accused you. You called her a harlot.
Yes.
And you said, and I heard you, and you said, no, I said, you dress like one.
Yes.
Big difference.
And I even told her, I said, you dress like I did before I was in Christ. And she's probably my age.
Yeah.
And she said she'd been a Christian since she was 12. I said, I was only born again 15 years ago, and within the first year or so, I was already seeing you.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to help you. Well, it turned out really bad, back and forth. I gave her a lot of scriptures, and I kept telling her, I would be happy to help you.
She didn't want the word.
She blocked me.
Yep, she ended up blocking you. And by the way, we talk about how people dress and how people act in their church associations. Why? Not to be legalistic. Some people say, oh, that's legalistic. You should focus on the gospel. I'm out there preaching the gospel. These people come by and say, I'm a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
And they look like the world, act like the world. They're there entertaining their flesh in the things of the world. And so we see their fruit, and it's rotten, and so we lovingly try to call them out of that so that they can actually live up to their profession of Christ.
Right.
That's why we do that.
Right.
So that it'll bring upon them guilt, conviction, and they'll feel guilty and sorrowful about their sin, and they'll come to repentance. So
we're here to help them.
Yeah, and so that was that one. How about another one, Sister Debbie? You walked into a store, and a Mennonite lady was there.
Yeah, right. I walked in there, and I saw this Mennonite woman, and I had my basket that has a gospel sign on it, and she saw me, obviously looking like a Christian, and she saw my sign and was reading it, and she seemed really nice. You know, a lot of the Mennonites or the Anabaptists we run into, a lot of them are really cold.
Mean-spirited.
Yeah, and they're not very nice. But she just seemed warm and friendly and very approachable. So I came up to her and I said hello. And she said, hi, how are you? And I gave her an Anabaptist gospel card. And I was able to share a lot of truth with her. I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes or so. And she actually stood there and listened. And she said I made some really good points when I called out a lot of man-made traditions and how you have to line it up with God's word. And even one of them, if it's a lie, will leave you outside the gates of heaven. And she thanked me, and she said, I've given her a lot to think about.
Awesome. And so then Sister Debbie came out from inside Walmart, and it was my turn. It was raining out, and I hadn't gotten any exercise sitting in a van. So I said, I'm going to go walk around Walmart. Maybe I got somebody to witness to. And I want to make a note here. For the people that say, oh, you're street preaching, and you're out there, that doesn't work, and you should just be talking to people. We street preach, we work online, we disciple people, we go out in the world, and every day we are one-on-one witnessing to people. So we do cover all the bases, and we talk to people one-on-one, we street preach, we proclaim it, we put it on the internet. So I went into Walmart, and I saw the woman with one of her children, and I thought, ha, they're still here, maybe I'll run into her husband. Sure enough, I found a guy in plaid. That's always the Mennonites are always wearing plaid and jeans. And I walked up to him with his children, and I knew it was him. And I said, hey, I think my wife gave your wife a gospel card. He looked all surprised. His young 9-year-old boy was more interested in the things of God than he was. The young boy was staring at me like crazy, like every word I said. The father was like, please just go away. I don't want to hear this anymore. He had no interest in the truth of God. I lovingly warned him about the false gospel or false traditions. I warned him that you must be born again. He just looked at me like, yeah, okay. And I said, read the gospel card. And I said, call me. I'd love to help you in truth. Okay. And he just walked away. As I always say, sadly, deader than a doorknob when it comes to spiritual things. But lots of truth was planted in them. And we hope that maybe it'll bring conviction about them.
Right, and you just said something about that young boy listening. He was listening when I was talking to his mom, and you know, we noticed that a lot out on the
street. Maybe we're there for these young children.
Yeah, we get we'll be standing on the streets and all the parents are like trying to push the children along, like put them on, hand on the back of their head and come on, and
yeah,
push them. And the little ones, young ones, anywhere from like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, they'll stand there and listen. They'll be pointing. And
remember, you had at the Mark Twain Fest, you had a boy about, a young man about 12 or 13 run all the way back and go, can I have a card?
Yep.
He ran all the way back to get one. So,
awesome.
So a lot of times my preaching, I do see 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, even early teens. Ah, by the time they're 18 or 19, unless they're really called of God, they're usually walking away mocking. But we see these really young ones listening.
Oh, it's awesome.
And so we might be putting some fertile seeds in them that might come to fruition. The next one I had was I met a van-dwelling man. He called himself a preacher, but I'm not so sure he was a preacher at all. He was another guy. Another thing we run into, typical once saved, always saved guy. He's living in admitted sin for the last 2 years, and he says, I know it's sin, I'm doing it, I admit it. But he claims he's still saved, and I said, you can't live in sin and claim salvation, you'll be put outside of the kingdom. Went over that with him, talked to him a lot of things. He was out there holding signs, begging for money. Another thing that shows he's not a working man, and he was only like 37. And so I meet these people out here in the underbelly of this culture, and so many times they claim to be preachers. I think they're just playing up, knowing I'm a preacher, hoping I'm going to give them money. We offered him some resources, some food and things. He was all fine. He had shelter. He had food. I think he wanted cash. I don't give out cash unless I know a brother and know a man's ministry. And I went on my way. He went on his way, and I haven't heard from him. So that's not a good sign. But he got lots of truth. And I got a couple of audios to put up that will edify everybody that him and I were talking about. Once saved, always saved. And not claiming that we're of Christ as we live in sin.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. And let's see. What was our next one? I met a man, truck driver, when I was in an empty parking lot with Sister Debbie. Somewhere in Iowa. He was from Canada. And he was a Sikh. These are a religious group from India made up in the 1500s by some man who is now dead and in his grave, and it's a dead man-made false religion. And this man walked up. I was on the phone with a young brother, got to preach the gospel to him. The young brother got to meet him. I turned the phone, we were doing a messenger video, and I challenged him. You can listen to the audio, it's on our Facebook page. I challenged him to see who Jesus was, and Jesus is either Lord or a liar, because his faith would call Jesus a prophet, but Jesus is either truly God or a liar. And he said, I'm not interested in that. And I said, well, you need to be, because you're going to be judged by a holy God one day, and I want you to have salvation, not damnation. He listened. He thanked me. I told him we loved him, and he went on his way with the gospel card. Our brother was edified. God was glorified, and I know that man got a lot of truth.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Hopefully it goes deep in him.
Amen. Amen. Do you have another one, Sister Debbie?
Well, I do, but it kind of goes after your Mormon thing.
Oh, yeah. So let me talk about another one. So we pulled into, we're going to call it the marketplace, and we're going to go inside and take a break and work online. And I saw a whole van load of young Mormon men.
Right.
You can tell they're Mormons. White shirts, black ties, and they got little name tags on. Well, there was about 10 of them piling in a van. And I would have had to go wrong way on a one-way street to get to them. By the time I went around the building and came back, they were already piled in their van. I was really disappointed. They got away from me without me preaching to them. And I said, well, I guess that wasn't meant to be, Lord. We went inside, and we were there 15 minutes. And what happened, Sister Debbie?
Five young Mormon women come walking in. And they went and did their order, and we knew they were because they had the name tags on.
Yeah.
They had dresses on. They were totally not biblical, but they looked a little bit different. And I'm just going to tell you, sisters, I was sitting there. I was like, I want to go witness to them, but I wasn't really sure how to break the door open. So I told Brother James that, and he's like, yeah, that would be awesome. He said, you know what I would do? I would ask him if they're having an event around here.
Yep.
Because there's a whole bunch of them, and he said that would be a good door opener. I was like, oh, hey, yay, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
So I waited till they were walking out the door, and I followed right behind them, and they held the door for me. And as soon as I got outside, I said, excuse me, I was wondering if you had an event around here. Are you Mormons? And one young girl, or young woman, whatever, They're all in their teens.
Yeah, probably 16, 18.
Yeah, something like that. She was very friendly. And she's like, oh, yeah, we're doing this and this and this. And we're from here and there and this and that. And I gave them all a gospel card. And they all stood like in a semicircle. And they were all listening.
Sister Debbie was preaching to them.
I was. I must have talked for about 10 minutes. And I went everywhere from man-made religion. See, I'm not the best right now at, like, Mormon religion and what they do. So what I did is I went to the scriptures and man-made religion, and I used the scriptures to tear that
you
down.
Talked about pagan holidays,
denominations, pagan holidays. I gave my testimony, and I talked about how you have to lose your life. And the biggest thing I wanted them to get was to test all things and not just sit there and believe what they're taught, and to dig deep into the scriptures. Well, out of the five of them, that one that spoke to me in the beginning, her face dropped, and the rest of them were all smiling. And her face, she almost looked like she was going to cry at one point. I could tell something
conviction
was working with her. Oh yeah, definitely. And one of them stepped up and kind of pretty much nipped the conversation in the bud, or tried to, with me. I actually offered her, I said, you know what, I'd love to email with you. You show me some of these things that I'm telling you are incorrect and biblically show me, I would love to get an email from you. And she said, to be honest with you, I won't do that. And right about then, Brother James came out.
Yeah.
And praise God, he went after the Mormon Religion Foundation.
Yeah, I exposed Joseph Smith and him marrying 23 women, and one of them was 14, and the false gospel and his mysticism. And we just told him, you're following a false Jesus. You know, the Mormons believe Jesus is Lucifer's brother, and they believe men can become gods on their own planet and have spirit wives. It's a crazy, mystic, demonic religion.
Right, and I was glad that you came out right then, because
yeah.
I keep forgetting those things, so I just stick with the scriptures myself, but God just worked it out perfectly, so
yeah,
they could get a well-rounded one. And I like the fact that once Brother James came out, that one young woman, she kind of got in his face and cut it off and turned them all away, but that one young woman, she looked back, and I said, it was nice talking to you, take care.
Yeah.
She just kind of was looking at me.
Seeds like, planted for the future.
Yeah, my heart was rejoicing that maybe one of them heard.
Yeah, and so we go out in the world and we look for these opportunities. Again, witness one-on-one, and that was another good example of them. And I have another one just today. Sister Debbie goes into a food store that we like to stop at, so we drove by one. She was getting us a few supplies. And I met an 82-year-old man comes walking up to the van. And he saw our gospel signs. And he says to me, I call him a t-shirt Christian. And the reason I call him a t-shirt Christian, he says, read my shirt. And the shirt had something about following Christ and the Bible only. And I'm like, okay. I get this all the time when I street preach. People walk by and hold up their metal cross. People point to their shirt that says, Jesus is Lord. And this is how bad American Christianity is. They think that they're worshiping God if they have a t-shirt about Christianity. But that's not how we worship God. We worship God with our entire being, with all of us, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, for His truth, for His word. Long story short, he is a churchgoer, churchianity guy, and all he did was defend. He admitted that their traditions are all built on Roman Catholicism. He admitted that, but he said he was going to keep doing it and that he has every right to do it. And I said, no, sir, you have to repent of that. I lovingly guided him out of it, tried to guide him out of it, offered him Bible study, offered him our website. And then what happened, Sister Debbie?
Well, right as that man, he was getting a little bit agitated, and it was about ready
his
to
face
walk
was
away.
Twitching.
Oh, like seriously?
Yeah,
it was strange.
He was mad because I was driving truth spikes in his false religion.
Right, and right about that time, a woman was getting in the car about several cars over, and she jumps out with her phone and she's yelling. She must have been making a video. You're a false prophet. You're a false prophet. And she said, about me, she said she can't even show her hair. And then all of a sudden she looks at me and she said,
she yelled this out in front of everybody,
she said, does he beat you?
No, she said, he probably beats you too.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Probably beats you too.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, you know. Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that, but that was
feminism.
Yeah, true, it's feminism.
Talk about, I told the man as he was walking away, I said, there's an example of your brazen feminism. That man walked up to me, he was willingly talking to me. This woman, who neither of us knew her, is walking out of the store, yelling across the parking lot that I'm a false prophet, and then accusing me of beating my wife when she knows nothing about our life together.
Oh, I know. It was pretty wicked.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about something. This just came to my head. That was the place we stood out at, that great big humongous mega church several years ago. So
yeah.
Who knows if maybe she...
That's true. Yeah, I never thought about that. That's the same town where we stood out and called out a mega church, and
oh,
she might have remembered us.
Oh, wicked.
Yep. Yep, and so those are just some of the witnessing experiences. We had a couple events that we did, and we had a couple more. Do you have another one, Sister Debbie?
Oh, yeah, in that same parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
This was so sweet. So this woman was being a wicked feminist, that older man. He walked away angry. And as we were getting ready to go, Brother James was walking around the back of the
van. Yeah, I should set this up. I was walking around the back of the van, and I saw a quarter. You know, at Aldi's, everybody uses a quarter for the shopping cart. The quarter was laying on the ground. There was a cute little girl, 5 or 6, and her grandma was right there. And I said, "Would you like this quarter, little girl?" And she said, "I would." And she ran over and took it. There was another little girl there, and I felt bad. I was going to give her another quarter, and I thought, no, that might not be appropriate. So then Sister Debbie took over.
Yeah, so I said, "I heard you give that one little girl a quarter." I said, "Maybe I should have given," I was kind of laughing. I said, "Maybe I should go give the other one." And he said, "Yeah, let me pull over here. You can go over there, and that might be a good witnessing opportunity." So I jumped out of the van as they were getting in their car, and I just said, "Excuse me," and she seemed really friendly. And I said, "Here, I just wanted to give you a quarter for the other little girl so she doesn't feel bad." I said, "We know what that's like," and she smiled. And I said, "I also want to bless you with a little gift for the little ones." I said, "We travel around the country and we don't get to see our grandchildren very often because we're out preaching the gospel and sharing that with everybody." I said, "I also want to give you this gospel card too."
Yeah.
And she just stared at me. She was like, "Oh, well, thank you." She was speechless. She said, "Thank you. Thank you so much." I mean, obviously it was kind of an unusual thing to do. But it was a good opportunity, kind of wrapped up what went on.
It was 5 seconds, or like 2 minutes after the lady was yelling in the parking lot that I beat my wife, that we were able to bless grandma and some couple of small kids.
Yeah, and I talked to the little girls a little bit and got their name and told them to have a joyous day. And they were like so ecstatic.
Yeah, that was kind of our way of saying, take that, Satan.
Yeah.
Do you have any other, Sister Debbie? Or?
Yeah, you know what? I have. Oh, yeah, remember this one. We were just getting ready to leave someplace. Brother James was He's about ready to start the van when his brother texted and said, you got time for a call?" And he said, "Yeah." So he got on the call, and about a minute later, a woman walked up to the van. And I jumped out to go talk to her. And as I was out there talking to her, she was really sneaky. And in the beginning, she made it sound like she left denominational religion and was a believer. But it wasn't long. As I was sharing, I must have talked to her for about 10 minutes, too. It was revealed that she has a lot of New Ageism, and I tried to show her the truth, and I'll just be honest with you, it kind of got rather heated, because she was cutting down the Bible saying that we can get greater knowledge and understanding through our consciousness, and it was quite a conversation. I told her, I'm just kind of wrapping up a whole bunch, because
she was a strange one.
You know what? There was something evil and wicked going on there.
She had some eye-twitching things going on.
Yeah, she did. You know, and at one point, you know, I was telling her, I was really trying to help her out. I said, I was going through the gospel with her, and when I got to born again, she said, "I'm born again every day." And I said, "Well," I kind of explained how that's not true, you know, and how the Holy Spirit indwells in you after you repent. And she looked up at the sky, and she said, "Father, help me repent."
And I said, that was like a mock.
Yeah, and then she kind of smiled at me, and I said, "What was that about?" And she said, "You told me to repent." And she started laughing. And I said, "What God do you serve?" And you know what she said right then? She said, I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget about it. She said, "Satan agreed to this." And I said, "Satan agreed to what?" She said, "To argue." And I said, "You know, I'm going to leave you now. You got the gospel card. You need to repent." And she turned around and she was laughing at
me.
You know what? It was one of those wicked, wicked encounters.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That was quite an interesting one. The timing was perfect. And so those are just a snapshot. Now, I need to go back. Like, when we go to these events, you can listen to some of these audios. We don't always, like here, we didn't talk a lot about, like at the bull running event, a man went in the bull running event, turned around, came all the way out,
right,
talked to us for 20 minutes about the truth of God, and that was awesome. I got to pour into him, so that's a positive one. At the Mark Twain event, several people, one young couple, talked to us for a long time about the truth of God. So we always get the chance. Yep, we have a lot of evil come against us. Yep, we have a lot of mockers. Yep, we have to rebuke false teachers and false teaching. But the truth is going out, and we do see some going out to fertile ground. A man said to me at the bull riding event, "How many people do you win doing this?" I said, "I don't win anybody. God does." He goes, "Well, how many people do you get this way?" And I said, "How many did Jesus say would come in the last days?" He goes, Well, he said few. I said, that's about how many we see. Few. But I said, we go for the one. We don't go for the hundreds. We go for the one lost sheep. And I said, maybe that was you today. So be encouraged that we do get the truth to go out there, and people that are supposed to hear it, hear it. Sadly, it's more adversarial. It's more evil. That's the world today. But we are contending so that sheep can hear the truth as well.
I wanted to go back to the one at the bull riding when he said, how many people do you, what did he say?
He said, how many people do you win, or how many people come to the Lord this way?
Right. He stood there and he watched all these people walking by. And on the other side, this woman and her children were walking by, and I held a gospel card out. And she kind of, well, before I did that, I looked over there and she nodded and smiled, and I held a gospel card out and she didn't see it. Her young daughter did behind her and tapped her, and she's like, Mom, Mom. And the mother came over and she took the gospel card right in front of that man, right when he asked Brother James that question. And she said, thank you. And she walked away, and that man was turning around looking at it like, perfect timing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it really kind of showed him that what we do is go out, and the world is not standing for Christ and the truth of God and the righteousness of God. We go out in the world to shine our light. Jesus said, be salt and light. And guess what? The darker the world is, the brighter your light shines. I always tell brothers and sisters that. The darker the world gets, yep, we might meet 100 people, and 98 of them seem evil or not caring or want to reject it, but the bright light gets to two people that receive it, hear it, and hopefully those seeds go on to fertile soil.
Right, I know.
And that's
I'm ready to go again.
Well, hopefully we got an event coming up this Saturday, and yeah, I'm sure hopefully the Lord will be using us to witness tomorrow. So did you have anything else, Sister Debbie? That was a lot.
There's so many more we'd be.
There's so many more, yeah, but we just wanted to pick out a few of the interesting ones, and I hope that edifies you. I hope that encourages you that the truth goes out. Listen to some of the audios, and that will teach you how to witness. Maybe you'll come up against something, and you'll go, hey, Brother James or Sister Debbie covered that, showed us how to do it. Men, if you could show me how to do it better, email me, call me. Love to learn.
All right.
Send me your videos and audios so I can learn from yours.
Yeah.
And I hope that was edifying to you.
Yeah, this is awesome. I love sharing it because God is glorified and the word is going out.
Amen.
And it helps other saints. I know sisters are always saying and thanking us for sharing these because it helps them too.
Yeah, and I think the one big key thing is not everybody gets to do what we get to do, and they might get to witness a little bit.
Yeah.
Our life gets to be shown, seen by other people. And that's an encouragement for people when they do get to witness.
Just being an example.
Right, being the example, yeah. Right, being tupos, right? The example.
Right, and we're learning as we go too.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always learning, refining, trying to do it better for God's glory. So I guess we'll leave it right there. We're going to set up camp for the night, and we're going to be down the road tomorrow, hopefully going towards an event Saturday, working our way north for the summer.
We're picking up a load of gospel cards.
We're almost out, too.
Yeah, we are.
We're picking up a load of gospel cards in the next town, so glory to God for that.
Yes.
And I hope you have a good gospel card if you're living the gospel and you're born by the gospel. Get yourself a good gospel card. It's a great witness, and it will get you out there to shine your light.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and let us know how we can help you in faith. We love you all. Strive on, repent, and obey the gospel. Right, Sister Debbie?
Amen.
What do we always say?
May God be praised.
Have a great day.